Well, if you've ever been privileged to wait for a baby to be born, maybe your own child, maybe a grandchild, a niece, a nephew, you know that a baby doesn't always come on your convenient schedule. You really can't put that trip to the hospital on your Apple Watch or on your computer calendar. You just do all that you can to be ready, and then you wait for the baby to stir and to exit the womb. Well, the birth of Jesus caught Mary and Joseph so off guard. They were in a strange town, a great distance from their village. Mary must have thought when those first birth pains came, "Oh no, not here in this place." Don't you think she might have been better prepared and not have given birth to her son in a barn? But the day when Jesus Christ will come again into this world is even less predictable. So Jesus advised the people around him to be ready at all times for the day when that will happen. So what might we do to be ready when the Son of God comes back to this world? Well, many of you did it already. Many of you provided so much food this past week for people who come here to the God is Love Church for help, especially at a time like Thanksgiving. Neighbors of ours around this church, especially neighbors with children and people who are recovering from surgery or from addiction. People who come here unexpectedly because they've suddenly lost their job and they need some food for themselves and their family. People who are too shy to ask at other places, but they know when they come here, they will be welcomed in the name of God. People who come here because they serve this country and they now suffer from the after effects of war. The early Christians suffered such persecution themselves, and they prayed for Jesus to come back into this world and help them, because they believed deep in their heart that the one who would be kind, who would come, would be kind and understanding in the same way that Jesus, who many of those early Christians knew, this world is so much in need of God to come back to us. I remember how it was in those days after September 11 in 2001. Ann and I had just moved recently to Baltimore after living 20 years in New York City. Two of our adult children and two of our little innocent grandchildren lived within view of those World Trade Towers. In the months that followed that horrific day, they watched the winter sky during October and November, and then into December. They look out so often at the winter's gray sky, not looking for the first snowflakes of the season, but looking from high up in their apartment building to see if a plane was coming toward them. For the first time in centuries, people began to feel a real need for God in all His power to come back to this world and create order out of the chaos of that day. Many New Yorkers especially went to church. People who hadn't gone to church in years went to church and prayed for safety. Surely if anyone could put the world right, we believe that the Son of God could do that. But like the birth of a child, Jesus will come again when the Father in heaven decides that it's time. And I would want to be ready. How important it is to be ready. All of us should be ready. So how has Jesus instructed us to be ready for that day when he comes again? Perhaps by paying attention to the people who are closest to us in this life. Or paying attention to people who are least like us. Or paying attention to what God wants us to be doing in this world, in these times. We never know when that is going to happen. But living close to God helps us to prepare not only for the good in life, but also for the bad. And by staying true to God in tough times and never giving up hope that the days can and will get better. 75 years ago, just after the Second World War ended, Viktor Frankl, an Austrian psychiatrist and neurologist, wrote a highly regarded book that he titled Man's Search for Meaning in Life. And in his book, which I was required to read in my first year as a seminary student up in Gettysburg, in that book, Dr. Frankl shares his experience as a prisoner himself in the Nazi concentration camp at Auschwitz. He describes how people in the concentration camp all around him in the 1930s and well into the 1940s suffered beyond belief. And as a prisoner, he writes that there was suffering in his life right along with those prisoners, thousands of them. And in his famous book, Dr. Frankl claims that he could see when people around him in the camp were ready to throw in the towel and give up. Simply give up. He could see the signs on their faces as they prepared themselves to go into those ovens. He wrote this: they don't give up because there's a lack of food, although there was. They don't give up because there was a lack of water. They don't give up because it was terribly bitter cold in the camp in the winter. The people gave up because they lost hope. When all the meaning and purpose for living had been drained out of them, they lost hope. And once they lost their hope for a better day to come, he said, I could see it in their eyes. And he knew that they were good as dead. Good as dead. Another post-World War II book by Ann Tyler. She wrote about two people in her novel, the characters Michael and Pauline. They were a pair of World War II sweethearts who went on to have three children, two daughters and a son. But one day, their oldest daughter, Lindy, just up and disappeared. She runs away from home and promptly seems to fall off the face of the earth. For the first days and weeks and even months, that young couple, Pauline and Michael, sit and watch and wait for Lindy to return. They follow up on every clue they get as to where she might be. They sit and look out the windows, and they listen for the key to turn in the front door of the house. They sit upright in bed every time they think they hear footsteps coming up from the first floor and walking past their bedroom. As a mother, Pauline had a way of glancing out the window that let you know that she was holding on to hope that her daughter would come back. When Lindy's mother had the chance to take a cruise with a bunch of her friends, she declined. She turned them down. She refused the offer. She listed a dozen excuses for why she didn't want to go. But in her heart, she declined because she was waiting for Lindy to come home. You and I may not live to see God come again into the world, but as we go on in these days that are yet ahead for us, we certainly want to know that as people look at us and people listen to us, they get a sense that we believe that better days will come. They will know that we live with the hope that Jesus is coming back. To make this world so much better than it is right now. Jesus Christ will come again. That was the promise he made. And he will make all things better. We need to believe and trust that great promise from this morning's gospel. That one day, either here or in the hereafter, everything will be made right. Ours isn't to try to figure out when that will happen, or what it's going to be like when it actually happens. Instead, we're simply asked to put our trust in God and concern ourselves with how we're living to prepare for the day and what we're doing for others around us as we wait and listen for God to come again. Amen.